Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 44 in our study of the Synoptic Gospels, which are the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke. We are in these days studying from the Gospel of Mark. And in the previous lessons, we have started looking very deeply into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is depicted as a slave savior for spreading the gospel. And in the last class, we looked at how Jesus was involved in the gospel service. Different incidents that happened in his life as he was involved in spreading the gospel. And during the course of spreading the gospel, there are many things that happened in Jesus' lives. And that is what we are going to focus on today. And we would see how Jesus would be despised by the people, even though he went about doing good. As it says in Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good. He never did anything bad to anyone, except that he was very authoritative, and he condemned the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who tried to impose religion on the people and put burden on other people's lives. Other than that, the life of common people, in the life of people who needed him, Jesus was always doing good. Yet he became despised because of the religious people who could not stand him, because he spoke the truth and they could not stand against the truth. So we will look into that, and then we will see how Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. He gave them the initial authority, and he sent them to propagate the gospel. We will also look deeply into the martyrdom of the forerunner of Jesus Christ, which is John the Baptist. Very elaborately, Mark has described about how John was beheaded and the events that led to that. We will look at a miracle of Jesus. In fact, a couple of miracles. One is the feeding of 5,000 men, and also we will see him doing a great miracle and walking on the sea to come to his disciples. And finally, we will close with Jesus being in demand, and he is healing a lot of people who are sick. So our text for today's lesson is Mark chapter 6, the whole of Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 56, and we will look into that and see the service that Jesus did towards spreading the gospel. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 1. And he went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. So we see that Jesus is frequenting and visiting his own country back after a trip, just like anyone would do, go out and then come back. So he is coming back to his own country. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to this man? And how is it that such works of power take place through his hands?" Jesus, when he was back in his hometown, on the Sabbath day, we see that Jesus doesn't sit at home, but he goes to the synagogue and he begins to teach in the synagogue. Why is it that Jesus spent a good part of his ministry not only preaching but also teaching the word of God? And we already have discussed on this matter that when man fell from sin and fell away from the fellowship of God, he became ignorant of the knowledge of God, and man was in darkness. And Jesus came as the light of the world, and this was the light that shone in the darkness, and this light was to enlighten the minds of the people that they may be turned away from the darkness to receive the light of life. And that is why Jesus was teaching in the synagogues. But the ones who heard him, they knew that these are not the words of an ordinary carpenter. These are words beyond that. This is an extraordinary wisdom that we see in a person, because a normal carpenter would not be speaking the things that Jesus started speaking. So they asked the questions, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to this man? How is it that this power takes place through this, his hands of healing and doing great miracles? And this is what they asked among themselves. And then verse number 3, he is not just the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with him? And they were stumbled because of him. Here we understand that there is a English proverb that comes very true in this kind of a thing, that familiarity breeds contempt. They were too familiar with Jesus, because they had the brothers, they had the mother, they had the sisters of Jesus living in their community. And for them, he was just a carpenter's son. They could not see Jesus beyond his humanity. They could not see Jesus beyond his profession as a carpenter and whatever he did. And it says that they were stumbled because of him. Now, when Jesus came to this world, we know that he was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53 verse 2 and 3, where it says that like a root out of a dry ground, he had no attracting form nor majesty that we should look upon him, nor beautiful appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, or he was despised and forsaken of men. So to know him in a way was to know him in his humanity according to the flesh. When we see 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 16, we read like this: from now therefore we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. So Apostle Paul is saying that we should not regard Christ according to the flesh, because he is more than of a person, a man of flesh and bones. He is in fact God incarnate. He is the Son of God. We understand that Jesus needs to be regarded in his deity according to the Spirit. When we turn to Romans chapter 1 and we start from the first verse onwards, this is the letter of Paul to the Romans. We read here that Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we see that Jesus Christ has descended from David according to the flesh, but then he is also the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness through his resurrection from the dead. So Jesus not only should be looked at according to the flesh, but also he should be seen according to the Spirit. Now we see two parts of Jesus. In his humanity, he was a root out of a dry ground, a sprout from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots. We see that in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1. And also he is described as a shoot unto David. References we see in Jeremiah chapter 23 verse number 5 and Jeremiah chapter 33 verse number 15. He is also seen as a shoot who was a man and a servant of Jehovah. References we see in Zechariah chapter 3 verse 8 and Zechariah chapter 6 verse 12. He was the one who came out of the seed of David according to the flesh. And we see that in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 3. So this is one part of Jesus that we see in his humanity, in his, yeah, as it says, in the flesh or in his human form. But on the other side, we also see Jesus in his deity. He was a shoot of Jehovah for beauty and glory. We see that in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse number 2. And he is also seen as a son of God, marked out in power according to the Spirit. And we read that passage in Romans 1 verse 4. So we see Jesus in these two categories. But unfortunately, the people in his hometown, they could only see Jesus in his humanity. And that is how they said that, how can he do all these things? They were surprised, and it says that they were stumbled because of him. Verse number 4, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. Jesus speaks a statement very, very true. He says a prophet is not without honor except. It is a double negative that Jesus uses here. What he means is that a prophet is not with any honor. He doesn't get any honor in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. No matter how great the person is, a prophet is, but he is looked with skepticism in his among his own people, in his own house, in his own country, in his own town. He is not accorded the kind of respect that he deserves. Verse number 5, and he could not do any work of power there except to lay his hands upon a few of the sick and heal them. It says that there's the part of the verse that we should really think about is that Jesus could not that he did not, he says he could not do any work of power. You know, and what is the reason for that? Because the people did not believe, and they did not believe that he could do it. And when people do not believe, even Jesus, the Son of God, says he could not do any work of power there. Jesus acts on our behalf when we believe in him, when we totally trust him, and that is when the faith comes out. That's the time Jesus acts and does great, you know, works of power in our life. So he just could just lay his hands and heal a few people, and that's all he did. But because of the unbelief of the people. Verse number 6 says, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around the villages in a circuit teaching. Jesus was amazed seeing the unbelief of the people. He was amazed seeing that even though he was doing so many miraculous things, but he could see that people were not believing, because they looked at him only as someone who grew up among them, and they did not have the faith to look at him as the Son of God who has the power and authority from God. Next verses from 7 to 13, we see that Jesus is sending out his disciples. Verse number 7, and he called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. Now Jesus calls the 12 disciples. It says that he sends them two by two. What is the reason for that? What is the reason that Jesus is sending out two by two of the disciples? And that is something that is which is very much amazing, that we can see in our life how Jesus is sending disciples two by two. If you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and let's read a couple of verses here. Verses 9 and 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Very simply, what it means that two are better than one person, because if one of them falls, the other can lift the person up, and they have a good reward for their toil. And that is what we see here, that Jesus sends two by two, and while he sends them, it says that he gives them the authority over the unclean spirits. Jesus, as the Son of God, has the authority inherent in his being over the unclean spirits, over the powers of darkness. And unless Jesus gives that authority, the disciples cannot have power over them. So Jesus gives them the authority. It's just like giving giving a card to scan to open a door. It's like a authority that you use to have control over certain things. So Jesus gives that authority over the unclean spirits. Verse number 8, and he charged them not to take anything for the journey except only a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, and to have sandals tied on, and said, do not put on two tunics. Something which is very interesting, that Jesus tells them not to take anything in the journey. This is very similar to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 9 onwards, and we see the same thing where Jesus said to those disciples. Now, what we understand is that the 12 disciples, they were sent to the house of Israel, and as workers worthy of the food, they did not need to bring any of their necessities with them. But we know that later on the principle changes after the Lord is fully rejected by the house of Israel. When we turn to Luke chapter 22 and verses 35 to 38, we read like this. And he said to them, when I send you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. He said to them, now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, look, there are two swords, and he said, it's enough. So that the scripture should be fulfilled in Jesus, at the latest time, when he was totally rejected by the house of Israel, he told his disciples to even take a sword with them. But initially, right now, when he's sending them on a mission, he says, don't take anything and put your sandals on. Verse number 10. It says that do not put on two tunics. A tunic is a like a shirt, like undergarment. And verse number 10, and he said to them, whenever you enter into a house, there remain until you depart from that place. So when you come to a city, you enter into a house, you stay there till you leave that city. Which means what Jesus was trying to tell here is that don't go from house to house within a city, but keep your dignity and stay in one place, and don't go from house to house. Verse number 11, and whatever place does not receive you or hear you, as you go out from there, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. It says that this is kind of like a testimony against them, that you even it's a testimony to them or against them, that you even shake off the dust from under your sandals. Verse number 12, and they went forth and proclaimed that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed many of the sick with oil and healed them. So the two disciples, they went to different places within Israel, and they did three things. Number one, they proclaimed the message of repentance. They preached the message of repentance. They proclaimed that all men should repent. Number one. Number two, they cast out many demons. They cast out demons. Why? Because Jesus had already given them the authority. And third, they anointed many of the sick with oil and they healed them. So they, the power of God to heal and the power of the Lord to cast out demons, the disciples, they got it, and that is how they did many miracles. And in another gospel, we see that they were amazed and they were so happy when they said that even the demons are subject to us. And that is the power that Jesus gave to his disciples. The next passage we see from 14 to 29 is the martyrdom of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus. Verse number 14. And King Herod heard of it, for his name had become known, and they said, John the Baptizer had been raised from the dead, and because of these works of power are operating through him, or are operating and are being manifested through him. But others said he is Elijah, and others said he is a prophet, like one of the prophets. But Herod, hearing of it, said, he whom I beheaded, John, this one was raised. For John himself had sent men and seized, for Herod himself had sent men and seized John and bound him in a prison on account of Herodias, the wife of Philip, his brother, because he married her. Now, this is a history that we see about John the Baptist. Jesus, while he was doing these mighty acts of power, he became famous. His name became known. And they said that John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead when they saw the works of power operating through them. Other people said, no, he's like Elijah. And still others said that he's like a prophet. But Herod, when he heard this, immediately he became guilty, because he was the one who was responsible for killing John the Baptist. And the story here is that John had sent men and seized, Herod had sent men and seized John and had bound him in prison because of Herodias, the wife of Philip's brother, because he had married his own brother's wife. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have the wife of your brother. Thus Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but could not. And Herod, fearing John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was very perplexed, yet he heard him gladly. We see a dichotomy in the way Herod the king behaved towards John the Baptist. he knew that he was a righteous and a holy man. So he kept him safe, under safe custody. And the word of God clearly says that he also used to listen to John the Baptist, and he was perplexed, but he heard him gladly. But on the other side, Herodias, who was his wife, who was the ex-wife of Philip, the brother of John, he had a grudge because John the Baptist had said that it is not lawful for you to have the wife of your brother. Verse number 21. And an opportune day came when Herod was on his birthday, made a banquet for his courtiers and the commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias herself entered and danced, she pleased Herod and those reclining at table with him. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you want and I will give it to you." And he swore to her earnestly, "Whatever you ask of me, I will give to you up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptizer." And coming in immediately with haste to the king, she asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptizer on a platter." And the king was very grieved, yet because of the oaths and those reclining at table, he did not want to refuse her. And immediately the king sent a guard and ordered him to bring his head. And he went out and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard about it, they came back and took his corpse and put him in a tomb. This is a story which never has been described in so vivid detail. Because Herodias had a grudge against John the Baptist, she took the opportunity when Herod offered his daughter, or the daughter of Herodias, when Herod offered that she can ask anything, even up to half of the kingdom, because she made him happy with her dance performance. But when she went and asked the mother said, "Let us have the head of John the Baptist," because of the grudge that she had in her heart. And it says the king was very grieved. He was not happy, but because of the oath, because he had made an oath, and because of those who were reclining on the table who had heard him make the statement, he had them kill John the Baptist and bring his head in a platter. And it says that they beheaded him. The Satan's hatred is seen here, expressed by the darkness and injustice of this worldly power towards this faithful forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was killed, that his disciples, his courageous disciples, they came and took the corpse and put it in a tomb. The next passage that we read from verse 30 to 44 is regarding the miracle of Jesus in feeding the 5,000. Verse number 30. And the apostles gathered together to Jesus and reported to him all that they did and all that they taught. In fact, they were very happy because they had power, and they also taught from the scriptures what Jesus had taught. They brought it to the next level and they taught it to the people. Verse number 31, and he said to them, "Come by yourself privately to a deserted place and rest for a while." And there were many coming and going, and they did not even have the opportunity to eat. They were so busy that they didn't have even time to eat and take care of your natural body. So Jesus told them, "Come on. Come to a private, a deserted place and rest for a while." We see that even Jesus decided to take some rest. Even though he was only upon the earth for a short time of 3.5 years in his ministry, but still within that time period, it says that he wanted to take some rest and that they should go back to the deserted place and just rest for a while. This indicates that God decides that we need to take a time of rest, a time that we can recoup. When God created the entire universe, it says that after 6 days of hard work, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they rested on the seventh day and declared it holy, which is the Sabbath day. And so even Jesus wanted the disciples to take a rest, because they had been going and they have been healing and teaching the disciples, and they did not even sometimes have an opportunity to eat. Verse number 32, and they went away in a boat to a deserted place privately. But many saw them going away and recognized them. They ran together there on foot from all the cities and got there before them. When the people saw that they were departing on a boat to a deserted place, it says that they ran on the land area. They ran and they were there before even the disciples and Jesus could reach there. So when Jesus got out of the boat, when he reached on the other side, he saw a great crowd and he was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Jesus, it says that, was moved with compassion, the emotion and showing his mankind, the fact that his humanity is shown in its fullest. And Jesus is moved with compassion. But at the same time, he see that he has a virtue which is carried out by his deity. So the virtue in his humanity and the power of his deity are mingled in one. And that again shows that he was both God and man. And verse number 35. And when the hour had already become late, his disciples said to him, this place is deserted, the hour is already late. Send them away so that they may go into a surrounding countryside and villages and buy for themselves something to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. They said, shall we go away and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, we need to understand the context of this incident, that Jesus, when it became the dark and the hour was getting late, the disciples said, see, this is a deserted place and the hour is getting late, why don't you send them back to their countryside and villages that they may go and buy themselves food to eat? But Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And they say that the first thing that they thought about was going and buying the bread. They say that, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, if you understand from the scriptures, a denarius was the chief silver coin of the Romans. And this was good pay for a day's labor. One denarius was enough as a good wages for a whole day labor. So the disciples said, shall we go and get them food for 200 denarii? Jesus said, and there was number 38, he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. They found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. So they found out there was a young boy who had his knapsack, and in that he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he ordered them to all recline by companies on the green grass. And they sat down in groups by hundreds and by the fifties. There is something that we need to see here. The Greek phrase that we read here, that have them all recline by companies on the green grass, it denotes dividing into companies at a party. Sitting by companies was equivalent to sitting at tables. This figure implies that the Lord's feeding of the multitude with bread and fish was like spreading of a feast to entertain guests. And it says that they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. It's on the original text, it gives an idea like a garden plot by garden plot. Like the arrangement of plots in a garden refers figuratively to a group of people arranged in an orderly way. The groups of people sat down in well-ordered square plots so that they looked like flowering plants arranged in plots in a garden. This figure implies that those who were fed by the Lord were like fragrant, beautiful flower beds. And they were all made to sit in groups by hundreds and fifties. And then verse number 41, and he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them, and the two fish he divided among all, and they all ate and were satisfied. So Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish in his hand. These are the steps he did. First, he looked up to heaven. Second, he blessed it. Third, he broke it. And then he gave it to his disciples. We are many times, if we have to be used in the hand of the Lord, we should be like that loaves and the fish in the hand of the Master. Only we have to reach the hand of the Master in order to be useful in the kingdom of God. Once he has us in his hands, he will look up to heaven, he will bless us, and then he will break us too. He'll break us in a way that will be hurtful for us, but then we will be satisfying people as it is distributed to many people. Verse number 42 says that they all ate and they were all satisfied. And not only they were satisfied, verse number 43 says, they took up 12 full hand baskets of the broken pieces of bread and of the fish. And those who had eaten of the loaves were 5,000 men. So, not only that those who ate were satisfied, they took with them 12 full hand baskets of broken piece of bread and fish. Meaning the 12 disciples, each one had a hand basket to take with him with bread and fish. So this not only displayed the power of the Lord Jesus deity as a creator who calls all things into being, and we see that in this particular incident, that he has called all things into being. When we read Romans chapter 4 and verse number 17, Romans 4 verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and call into existence the things that do not exist. It says that Jesus calls into existence the things that do not exist. And in this particular case, that is what he did. He called things into being that did not exist before, because he created bread and fish to feed such a large multitude of people. And this signifies the bountiful supply of the divine life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can take a verse from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8, which reads like this: to me, though I am the very least of all the saints — this is Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus — that though I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we see that there is unsearchable, bountiful riches in Christ that we have to just look for, and God is going to give that to us. And that is a wonderful thing. So we see that how Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 men. It only speaks about the men, and it doesn't speak about women and children. And Bible scholars say that it may be close to 20,000 people that Jesus fed with five loaves and two fishes. What a great miracle that Jesus performed at that time. Next miracle that we see him, he is walking on the sea. His power over the element of nature. Verse number 45, and immediately he compelled his disciples to step into the boat and go to the other side towards Bethsaida while he sent the crowd away. So Jesus right away, after he has done the miracle, it says that he immediately, he compelled, he forced his disciples to step into a boat and go to the other side towards Bethsaida, and he sent the crowd also away that they can go back to their homes. And after he said farewell to them, he went away to the mountain to pray. It says that after Jesus sent them all away, he sent them to a mountain to pray. And that is very significant, because we see that Jesus sent the people to away. He sent his disciples up in the boat. He sent the people away back to their homes. But he himself went to the mountain to pray. Now, why he went alone? Because he wanted to have fellowship with his Heavenly Father. And he wanted to seek his will and his pleasure for the gospel service. And we understand that whatever Jesus did, it was in according to God's plan. It was not independent of God. And he was fulfilling the purpose of God in this life. And that is why he sent them away, and he went alone to the mountain to pray. Verse number 47, and when evening fell, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he alone was on the land. And seeing them distressed as they rowed, for the wind was contrary to them, he came towards them about the fourth watch of the night, walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. So Jesus, while he was praying, in his spirit he could see that they were distressed as they were rowing the boat, because the wind was against them. And it says that he came towards them on the fourth watch of the night, and he walked on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. Now, in Mark chapter 4 verse 38, we see that Jesus was sleeping in a boat while which was beaten by windstorm and threatening his followers. But here he is walking on the sea while his followers, as the road, were distressed by the wave of the sea and the contrary winds that were against them. So this indicates that Jesus, even though he was in his humanity, but he is the creator and ruler of the universe, and he was not distressed by any circumstances, because he would take care of his followers in their trouble while they followed him in the journey. So anytime, whatever used to happen, Jesus would take care of them, because he was the ruler of and the creator of the universe. And when we turn to Job chapter 9 and verse number 8, here is something very beautiful words that we read here. Job replies and says, who alone, speaking about God, who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea. It says that God trampled the waves of the sea. Jesus walked on the water, on the waves of the sea, just like Job said that he trampled the waves of the sea. This shows the power of Jesus as the creator, God. Verse number 49, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were startled. But immediately he spoke to them and said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And he went unto them into the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly astonished in themselves beyond measure, for they did not understand concerning the loaves, but rather their heart was hardened. They did not remember that Jesus had did such a great miracle with distributing the loaves and fishes, because their hearts became hardened. But they thought that the one who was walking on the sea was a ghost. But Jesus said, it's not a ghost, it's me, do not be afraid. And he went inside, and they were beyond measure, beyond anything that you can measure, Jesus said it is I or I am. As in the Old Testament when God appeared to Moses and says, I am that I am, that is the same I am. Jesus says, I am. Do not be afraid. And he went into the boat so that they could see that he was truly Jesus, the Son of God. And they were astonished in themselves. And they still did not understand that he was God incarnate or God in the flesh. Finally, we come to the last portion of our lesson today, which is verses 53 to 56. And we see how Jesus has become very popular. And they crossed over to the land and came to Gennesaret and moored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. This is Jesus coming back to the place where he had healed that demon-possessed man in Gennesaret. So he comes back, they crosses over, they come back to the land of Gennesaret, and there people recognize him. And they ran about that whole region and began to carry around on mats all those who were ill to any place where they heard that he was. And wherever he entered into villages or into cities or into the countryside, they laid those who were sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they may touch if even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched him were healed or were made whole. It is wonderful to see how people believed and trusted. When his own countrymen, they did not believe in the Lord Jesus, we see that people back out there in the countryside of Gennesaret, in the country, in the cities and villages, wherever he went, away from his hometown, they were having sick people on mats and they wanted to touch his garment. Somehow they to get the healing, because he was already known among them. And it is all probability that the man who was healed from the demon, he must have gone out and witnessed to everyone, saying, look what the Lord has done to my life. And that has put a faith in the life of the people. So they were searching out for him and they were touching him. And it says that as many as touched him were healed. And this is the story today. As many as touched Jesus were healed. If we need a healing in our life, we need to touch him. It says, as many as touched him were healed. God is not a respecter of persons. If you as a listener today, you have some problem in your life that you need a healing, whether it be material, physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, whichever side, if you have a problem in your life today, I pray that you stretch forth your hand by faith upon to the Lord Jesus and ask him for a healing. And he will definitely hear your prayers and he will heal you. May God bless you as you do this. We conclude lesson number 44 with this. And the next lesson we are going to take will be from chapter 7, Mark chapter 7 and verses 1 onwards. May God bless you with these words.